When we discuss old age, we usually talk about three dimensions: body, mind, and social life, or the physical, psychological, and social dimensions. But there is a fourth dimension, and many elderly feel that it is the most important one. It is the soul, the spirit, the spark of life, the joy of life, religion, and hope. In short, the large questions in life. In this recording, I will tell you what I have experienced, learned, and thought during many years as a doctor for old people. I start with religion and belief. As we grow older, death comes closer, and it becomes natural to think about the question, what comes after death? Is death the end, or is there something after death? These are eternal questions, and there are many answers. Some religions believe in transmigration of the soul, that is, the soul comes alive in a new being. Some religions believe in eternal life, a life in the glory of paradise, or in deserved punishment in hell. In the year 1300, Dante wrote his great epos about this, and that epos has received eternal life. Many elderly are convinced that there is no life after death, except that we are remembered with love or hate by our close ones. Many, possibly the majority, live with their doubt because they have never received the gift of belief. We dream about hope for the gift of belief, but we have been forced to realize that it is not possible to work our way to belief through thought or doubt. The belief must come on its own as a sudden revelation or as a gift. There are innumerable books on this, everything from the Bible to moving accounts on the experience of faith and thorough philosophical works on the essence of belief. I have experienced, as have many elderly, that these questions have become more important to me, and I spend much time reading and reflecting about this. Some authors have become important to me, like Christian Schjelderup, John Robinson, and Paul Tillich. In my talk with the elderly, I find that they often have their own special belief, almost a private religion, that does not agree with the belief of the state church, but they clearly disagree with the human ethicists, who reject all beliefs on the eternal and the life after death. Why are these questions so important to so many elderly? One thought is obvious to me. The psychologists have a concept of locus of control, and they divide people into two groups: those who are internally directed and those who are externally directed. The second group is directed by other people or by external circumstances, for example, disease. As a doctor, I have often seen and heard this question from the patients: does the disease own me, or do I own the disease? Those patients have a better life who say, of course, I don't like the disease, but I am the boss, and I decide how I shall live with it. But of course, it is not that easy, because we don't know why we see these differences between people. One explanation could be that those who are internally governed are in reality governed by forces above themselves. For some, it is belief. For some, the local culture, and for some the upbringing and the family culture. It is not far from belief to hope, and hope has a central position in human life. Hope and optimism are different concepts. Optimism is a general characteristic, a cheerful mind, simply. Sometimes optimism is so strong that it is uncritical, the so-called Pollyanna syndrome. Pollyanna was a character in a girl's book. She was immune to everything, and there was always sun in her life. Hope, on the other hand, is related to definite goals. I hope to get through the examination, or I hope to be well again. Therefore, there is a relation between hope and thought. You cannot hope against fact. It is important that the health personnel think about the role of hope for their patients. We shall help them to keep up their hope, but hope has to remain reasonably true. If we lie to support optimism, we are seen through, and the patients lose their confidence in us. Therefore, we must stick to the truth. But I think we can add 10% for uncertainty and for optimism, but not more. One feature is important to understand, and I call it the downhill of hope. When I follow patients with fatal disease, I have seen that they adjust their hope downhill, step for step. In the beginning, they hope to get well again. Then they get a relapse and have to take one step down. The point is that there always is something to hope for, and the health personnel should stay with them in their downhill course. I believe that hope is vital for people. Usually we say, when there is life, there is hope. But I believe it is the very opposite. When there is hope, there is life. When the hope dies, life is coming to its end. I've seen it many times in the nursing home. The spirit of life is gone, and the patients say, I have done my task in life, and now I want to die in peace. They take to the bed, eat and drink less and less, and finally they die peacefully. I believe this is natural death, and we should not bother them with artificial fluids and nutrition. However, there is one source of error that always should be considered, and that is a depression which can and should be treated. Therefore, we should think carefully, and we should have a deep respect for the natural end of life.